What an honor and a privilege it is for me to be with you to celebrate 150 years of ministry at the Crossroads. Through the years and through my own visit to Ethiopia 4 years ago, I have learned that our Ethiopian sisters and brothers, our partners in ministry of the Ilu Babor Bethel Synod, have a wonderful tradition that they uphold, bringing heartfelt greetings on behalf of their home congregations and presbyteries, and sharing the joy of serving Christ together across the miles around the world. So today, within that tradition that we share, I bring you greetings and congratulations on behalf of Shenandoah Presbytery, on behalf of 106 congregations and a tremendous staff, including our newest staff member, the Reverend Bronwyn Boswell, who is seated directly behind me in your choir today. It is her first official day in Shenandoah Presbytery, and here she is. I've been a clergy member, as John mentioned, here in the Valley for the past 29 years. I also bring you greetings on behalf of the congregation I have been privileged to serve for the past 20 years, the Opeckan Presbyterian Church of Frederick County, where worship began in 1732 and formal organization occurred in 1736, the oldest congregation of our presbytery now in our 281st year. And we really don't look that old either. Opeckan is a church that seeks to equip disciples of all generations to be Christ's hands, heart, feet, and mind in the world. We are dedicated to intergenerational Christian nurture and outreach to our neighborhoods, community, and world. We are in a thriving area just outside Winchester and are seeking to change, oh yes, change, and engage with the community by getting beyond our walls as we join God in the mission God is already doing there. And maybe like these characteristics I've already mentioned, which are quite like those, I believe, of Massanutten's personality, we too have a healthy mortgage remaining on our new sanctuary. Because Opeckan, like Massanutten, continues to be a gathering spot for people to worship and to be empowered, and then who are sent out for mission and ministry. So our congregation sincerely congratulates you and empathizes with you on healthy mortgages and the like, as we understand the heritage of generosity and the continuing need for generosity. And I know that they are joining with me in prayer for you and for one another. Finally, I also bring greetings on behalf of my family, saddened that they could not join me today because somehow I got out of my responsibilities back at Opeckan, but they weren't allowed to. They have a very tough head of staff. My wife, Carol, is our director of Christian education and always has an event relating to World Communion Sunday, as she did this morning. And our daughter, Rebecca, who many of you know quite well, as John mentioned earlier, is now serving part-time as our director of youth and young adult ministries, and she had several responsibilities. But Rebecca said she keeps up with you all on Facebook and through your e-letters, and they both send their love and congratulations, warmly extending their heartfelt greetings to you. So please join me now in prayer as we look to God. God of our salvation, we thank you for the gift of faith as you bring, through Jesus Christ, the light of the gospel into our lives as grace revealed. We thank you for all those who have taught us the good news. Kindle in us always this gift, this good treasure, that we may live the life to which you have called us according to your plan and purpose. And help us to guard this treasure and to share it with others too, so that the faith that has lived in our ancestors and now lives in us may come to life in every new generation. We pray with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Amen. Our first reading is from the Psalter, Psalm 145, the greatness and goodness of God. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall laud your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. The might of your awesome deeds shall be proclaimed, and I will declare your greatness. They shall celebrate the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your faithful shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to all people your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and gracious in all his deeds. And then we turn to the second letter to Timothy, the first chapter. I'm actually going to begin with the first verse and conclude with the 14th. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience as my ancestors did when I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed then of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher, and for this reason I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. The young man, almost 18, sat down on the pew, his mother beside him. The sanctuary was crowded with people of various ages who seemed to be filled with great joy, seeing each other at the outset of a new week, prepared to worship and glorify the living God. This being his first time visit to the church, he gazed up at the wooden beams in the ceiling, admired the pastor's gray pulpit robe, appreciated the music of the choir and the many stories within the sermon, laughed generously, sang joyfully, and prayed deeply with the congregation. And he observed some extraordinarily healthy relationships that morning, from generation to generation, people sharing, some related family, of course, yet many others family, as sisters and brothers in Christ, the church's one foundation. Upon exiting the sanctuary, he thought to himself, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. It was the first of many, many times this young man would worship at Massanutten Church over the next 4 years while a student at James Madison University. That young man, of course, was me when I came to Massanutten in June of 1980 during my very first visit to Harrisonburg. After I arrived that fall, I wondered how I would get out Route 33 West on Sunday mornings. Well, I didn't need to wonder very long. After I met Helen Lehman, a much beloved member here, Mrs. Lehman was a head resident of a female dorm at JMU, one of two older adult head residents hearkening back to the days of house mothers at Madison College. I met her at a residence hall function, and she made sure I got to Massanutten Church, sometimes for both Sunday school and worship, until I got my own car the following year. But there were Sundays it wasn't just me in her big red car. We loaded it down with friends, including the gal who would later become my wife. What Mrs. Lehman didn't know at the time was that through her hospitality and generosity, she helped a young man two generations younger and served as an instrument in God's plan and purpose for my life, for the Lord's calling of me as a pastor. Building upon what my own church had always done for me, a church whose foundation is likewise Jesus Christ, this church was formative in that process by engaging me, by nurturing me, by showing me, by loving me, by reminding me of who we are and who we are called to be as Christians. I love seeing the Sunnyside bus drive up in the parking lot. I was filled with hope when the children gathered around Dr. Arnold Poole and he talked to each of them like they were his own grandchildren. Anne, I think, has a little ways to go. I gained special friends in Ellen and Bill Blose. I witnessed creative ideas and programs, but more importantly, a spiritual vitality that I frankly had not experienced before. And Dr. Poole, like pastors had earlier and have since, mentored me. But at a crucial, evolving time in my life as he lifted up Christian discipleship through down-to-earth, relevant illustrations of the scriptures. I still cherish the four books Dr. Poole authored, which he gave me when I graduated from JMU and entered Union Seminary. And I can recall specific counsel he shared in his sermon at my installation service in 1988. At Glenkirk Church outside Waynesboro. Fast forward almost 30 years. A young lady, 18 years old, begins her studies at JMU, a place she visited for the first time when she was carried onto campus by her parents in one of those little rocky seats. She wondered where she would go to church because, well, it's part of her DNA, you know. So not going wasn't even a choice to her, much less to her mom and dad. That gal, of course, was our daughter Rebecca, who tells me she knew that Massanutten was her home away from home because it is much like Opeckin. All generations represented, great music, friendly people, caring pastors, and most importantly, you welcomed her and got her involved within months as a youth advisor. And like her dad's experience years earlier, through hospitality and generosity, beginning with rides from Betsy Hay and others who went the extra mile, Rebecca was mentored at a formative time in her own life. And where that evolves and ends up, she doesn't know yet. I don't. her mom doesn't. Only the good Lord does. From generation to generation, from struggling pioneers at Cross Keys to 14 dedicated disciples at Peel's Crossroads, who originally constituted the Massanutten Church, to living, breathing, singing servants of God today. From Lois to Eunice to Timothy, the Apostle Paul praises God for relationships with God through Christ, with ancestors, with Timothy, who he is mentoring. He offers Timothy words of encouragement for his sincere faith, a faith that lived first in his grandmother, then in his mother, and now lives, he is sure, in him. Yet, he must rekindle that gift of God, to not take it for granted, to not allow it to lay fallow, but to hold it, to nurture it, to guard it as good treasure, and to share it by suffering for the good news of the gospel. With this, there is a clear indication from Paul that Timothy should not be ashamed of the testimony of Jesus or even the imprisonment of Paul. No doubt, Paul is convinced that the church has a tremendous gift to share with the world, as we indeed do. Yet Paul's deep conviction also motivates him to remind Timothy and us that this testimony is always one generation away from extinction. I'm sure you've heard that many times. If one generation becomes ashamed of the gospel and does not risk sharing it, how will the next generation know? Like a blazing, glowing fire that brings both warmth and light, but that is slowly reduced to embers, we must stir up the gifts of grace and mercy and love, rekindling what has been entrusted to each of us. And that renewal is essential for each of us as Christians and for our communities of faith from generation to generation. Back in 2011, Opeckan Church celebrated 275 years of continuing ministry with the theme, Keepers of the Flame, based upon this scripture text. As we reflected upon what it means to keep the flame of faith and service burning in the hearts of God's people, what we discovered, as you will too in reading Massanutten's history, which I enjoy doing, is that while that flame may indeed burn brightly or mildly flicker, it will shine broadly when it is maintained by faithful keepers of the flame from generation to generation, hospitable, generous people who have servants' hearts and understand that the Lord is calling them as instruments of his grace and good work. One of my favorite choral anthems that year highlights, from father to daughter, from mother to son, God's story of love is passed on. From hearts of the faithful, the truth of God's word has been made known. From generation to every generation, we have heard the story. From ages past to days that come at last, we find hope in God's grace and glory. God's faithfulness will always endure. God's love is sure. Today we have gathered to worship, as our ancestors have done from generation to generation, united around the one table of our Lord. We praise God. We pray for God's guidance. We seek renewal through God's word and the rekindling of that gift of God within us. And this morning we celebrate, honoring 150 years of ministry, of spiritual ancestors who have served the living Lord through generations of generosity and hospitality, who have made a difference in people's lives and within this community. History, writes author and historian David McCullough in his recent book, composed of speeches from his career, history is a larger way of looking at life. It is a source of strength, of inspiration. It is about who we are and what we stand for, and is essential to our understanding of what our own role should be in our time. History, as can't be said too often, is human. It is about people, and they speak to us across the years. Yet none of us, my friends, including the church, my church, your church, can rest on history, can bask in former glories, can assume somehow someone else will do the work and keep the flame burning, can take for granted that our children and grandchildren will have faith without our practicing it, or can remain quiet about the good news, or maintain silence in the face of need or injustice. As Presbyterians, we identify that the great ends of the church are the proclamation of the gospel for the salvation of humankind, the shelter, nurture, and spiritual fellowship of the children of God, the maintenance of divine worship, the preservation of the truth, the promotion of social righteousness, the exhibition of the kingdom of heaven to the world. That gives definition to our vision, historically and today. And the great ends point us forward to the reality that the church is not identified by a location or a building or a steeple, as the old children's song goes, but by our faith in Christ, the gift, the treasure, by the gathering of God's people who love one another and neighbors, and by the mission that takes us beyond the walls to join God in God's activity in the world. I experience the generosity of Christ's disciples and the hospitality of this church over 30 years ago, actually closer to 40, as our daughter Rebecca did in recent years. You and I know, however, that the generosity of generations has been alive and well at the crossroads for at least 150 years. Now the call, through words of encouragement to servant Timothy from mentor Paul, also extends to us, right here, right now, at Massanutten Presbyterian Church, gathered around table, font, and pulpit. Rekindle the gift, my friends. Renew the grace and faith within you, within the church, a treasure to be guarded and nurtured and shared from generation to generation. Amen. Our affirmation of faith today is printed in your order of worship. It is taken from a declaration of faith. I invite you to rise either in body or in spirit as we affirm our faith in our living God. The church is founded on Jesus Christ, gathered around the word and sacraments, those who confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, together with their children, have formed a corporate, visible body in pilgrimage with God across the centuries. We acknowledge that Christ chooses to be known in the world through this community of ordinary people. Therefore, we dare not despise or abandon the church. The church has its ongoing story with God. The church's story with God did not end with the last events recorded in Scripture. Across the centuries, the company of believers has continued its pilgrimage with the Lord of history. We confess we are heirs of this whole story. We are charged to remember our past, to be warned and encouraged by it, but not to live it again. Now is the time of our testing. As God's story with the church moves forward through us, we are called to live now as God's servants in the service of people everywhere.